Morning, Danielle. The phone number ending in 0301, can you state your name for the record, please?
Hi, Danielle. Mike Murphy.
Hi, thank you, Mike. Just so everyone knows, Martha is on the line. The phone number ending in 4353, can you state your name for the record, please? You would unmute your phone with star six.
Okay, we'll keep working on that as we can. So according to my shiny gold retirement watch, it's 10 o'clock. I'll call the meeting to order. Danielle, would you do a roll call, please?
Joe?
Here.
Ken?
Here.
Sharon?
Here.
Richard?
Here. Does anybody have any modifications, additions, or changes to the agenda?
No.
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 I have none. Would anybody like to declare a potential conflict of interest?
No.
Okay, hearing none, I would entertain a motion to approve the agenda as written.
I make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion by Joe, a second by Ken to approve the agenda as written. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Danielle?
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Move to public comments. Do you have any public comments on file, Danielle?
I do not have anything on file.
Okay, thank you. All right, that moves us to action items. Action item A, the bluefin sign. Gary?
Yeah, Kim Jones, the owner of Bluefin, has requested to put a sign up. It's a lighted sign. It's an LED sign. It's 1 foot high, about 8 foot wide sign, be lighted during the day only. It's not going to be lighted at night. She's requested to get this sign put up on the outside of her building so people can see it from Lower Arbor Road. I think Kim is supposed to be on the line if the commissioners had any questions about her sign idea.
Okay, Kim, are you there?
If Kim is on the line, you would unmute your phone by pressing star six. I'm not seeing anything, Richard.
Okay, thank you. So Gary, is my understanding this sign says real estate?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
She plans on getting a sign later on below it says Blue Fin, but that's going to be a month or two later down the road. Right now, she's got a temporary sign out there right now, and that's going to be replaced with this sign plus her logo that's going to be built later.
Okay, and this is in keeping with our sign ordinance?
Yeah, pretty close.
Okay. All right.
I mean, the sign ordinance is 25 years old, so it is kind of outdated. We do have other businesses here have signs, you know, lighted signs,
bigger signs.
So it's.
We're just trying to keep it within reason. Make sure you guys know.
Okay, so is there further discussion on this item?
No, I'm all right with it, Richard.
Okay.
This is Ken. I have a problem with it.
All right. Well, I'd entertain a motion then on the Bluefin sign.
I make a motion to approve the Bluefin Realty sign plan as presented.
I'll second it.
Okay. We have a motion by Joe and a second by Ken. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Danielle?
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, let's move to action item B, Zola's on the Water construction plan. Gary?
Yeah, his plan didn't come in yet. He's expecting it this week, maybe. But this expansion was already approved by the board. This is where they started their construction work, and they were installing a new drain line, and they were stopped until we get actual drawings what they're going to do. So this drawing is going to be showing what they're going to be doing. So, and when he talked to me about it, he was hoping to get a quick answer, a turnaround for the port. So if it's all right with the board, whenever the drawing comes in, I'll have Jack look at it. We'll look at it. And if everything's going good, then I can give the go ahead instead of coming back to the board for another meeting. That's okay with the board.
Okay. So to be clear, the necessity for having this plan is so that we have on record and as built drawing, and to make sure that the piping that he's going to put in is compatible with the existing system that he will tie into, which is our system and which also drains into the port. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Okay. Any commissioner discussion on this?
No.
Okay, I would entertain a motion on action item B.
Okay.
Sharon, you making a motion?
No, I was going to make a comment.
Oh, go ahead. Oh. Go ahead, make your comment.
Well, thank you. Gary, I'm hoping with everything that our businesses have gone through with COVID and everything, as soon as that we do get those plans, we can look at them and so that they can move forward to get their kitchen completed. Anyway, I would really hope to see the port do that.
Yeah, well, we won't delay on getting the answer back to them, that's for sure. So it's still in his ballpark to get us the drawings, and we've been waiting on it for 3 months now, thereabouts.
Right. Well, thank you very much.
Yep.
So this is Ken. I'll make a motion to allow port manager to give approval to proceed with construction once the review of the drawings is completed.
I second it.
All right. We have a motion on the floor on action item B by Ken, second by Joe Spear. Any further discussion?
No.
Hearing none. Danielle?
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, that moves us to information items, starting with A, the sinkhole repair at the fishing pier. Gary?
Yeah, just let the board know that we took the asphalt off the damaged area, dug down, I think we dug down 6 to 8 feet deep, then recompacted it. We put some fabric down and then some material in there and backfill all the way to the top. So we left it gravel for now. Just in that little area, we left everything else asphalt at this time. Like, you know, we talked about in the previous meeting to remove all the asphalt, but right now we're just going to fix that one spot and then see what happens.
Looks good.
So when you dug down underneath there, what did you find? I mean, is it obviously failing the main structure?
This is Travis. Most of what we found is that there's not anything for subgrade that's underneath that asphalt. It's all basically the original ground, which is mostly all sand. We found a lot of sand. That's almost all what we dug up. So we're able to get down to the original jetty rocks that are there, not the jetty rocks you see. It's the original ones from, you know, way back in early 80s, 70s, 80s when that was made. And we put some fabric in there that allows water to run through. And then we just backfilled on top of it. So we just found there's a lot of sand. There's not a lot of rock or aggregate that's there. And when the water runs through it, it's pushing out underneath the jetty. So it's a much bigger project than what it, at face value, it looks like.
Okay, but it does look, at least from the hole you saw, like there is some substantial substrate that we could kind of anchor to in the future as we try to repair that.
Yeah, I think with some proper engineering and digging up the whole thing, you can make a system that would work well throughout there. There's really no drainage in that area of the port either, in that at the end of the road and anywhere really along the jetty. So when water piles up there, it, you know, it either goes over the top or erodes out from underneath. So drainage and a whole system is end game what needs, but this will get us through and we can keep maintaining and watching if there's any further sinkholes that try and go down, and we'll continue doing that until a later date.
Okay. Any further comments, discussion from the commissioners?
No.
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 Okay. Hearing none, we will then move to item B, the asphalt repair at the RV park and fishing pier. Gary or Travis?
Yes, we paved over the worst area of the exit road, 1 to 2 inches of asphalt over that area, about 40-foot stretch, 20-foot wide. We had McLennan Excavation do the work for us. We did get a price from 5R, but McLennan was a lower price. And we also paved the bad section there at the fishing pier. That was about a 50-by-50-foot area that we just paved over. We're looking at doing seal coat work on the fishing pier area. So we can seal coat and just protect that asphalt, what's there. What do you think about seal coating the exit road?
I'm getting prices for the fishing pier and the exit of the RV park, two separate ones. So we can look at how much it costs. And if we have to make a decision, we can make a decision on one or the other.
Okay, and so what's the cost of this current repair for the asphalt we just laid?
Just under $8,000, is right around $7,900.
Okay.
What did we pay a square foot for seal coating the parking lot out here?
I don't have that number with me. I'm not exactly sure.
I just remember 20 to 23 cents a square foot.
For some reason, I want to say 16, but I could be wrong. I would have to look. He should be giving me a price anytime. I had him out on Friday last week to give it to him. So.
Somewhere in that ballpark.
If it stays under a couple thousand dollars and we can keep it under into with this project, then we might just do it. But if it's we'll
have to see. So if you were to seal coat the road, would you have to close it temporarily?
For a day.
Probably for a day we'd have to keep people off it. We could probably do half and half so it's not completely closed down. If we were going to be doing it on a time where I thought there's going to be a lot of people or a heavy use, we'll break it in half. But other than that, we'll just do it all in once. Keep it blocked off for a day.
Okay. All right. Any further comments from the commissioners or staff on this item?
No.
Okay, hearing none, let's move on to item C, the Marpole Certificate of Adequacy Form C.
Yeah, the Coast Guard contacted me through an email saying that we needed to turn in this Form C. So Travis and I researched it, we talked to him, and we also double checked on our receiving companies that they actually do get vessels that unload more than 500,000 pounds in a calendar year. So we went ahead and filled out Form C. The garbage, the MARPOL rules state that the receiving, the terminals are the responsible, the port is responsible, but the terminals actually have to follow the MARPOL rules as well. So the receiving boats that go to the terminals have to get rid of the garbage. The receiving companies have to get rid of the vessel's garbage, voyage garbage, not their commercial equipment waste. So if that makes any sense. So we went ahead and filled out the forms. We sent it back to the Coast Guard. I haven't got a response back from them. But we turned in the form that they requested. The garbage that we're doing now for the rest of the fleet is, as far as we can tell, is adequate from what we're doing. They have a little figures where it showed trash, a trash can, a seafaring guy with a bag of trash going to a trash can, then going to a bigger trash bin, and then a company take it, haul it away. So. We feel that what we're doing is adequate per the MARPOL rules.
Okay. Any commissioner discussion on this? Questions?
No.
Is this going to cost us any more to handle the trash?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Well, it sounds like we're ready to move on then to item D, the Seal Cove Realty eviction.
Yeah, to give the commissioners an update on Seal Cove, we had our first hearing, which is on the 15th, and Charles Simpson did not show up. So the judgment was in our favor. So since then, a writ of execution was performed, and it was the sheriff will be doing the execution on Wednesday afternoon. They show up. He's not going to be there, but we'll be there with the locksmith to change out the lock to make it official that the property is now in our hands. We still have to go through several days worth of notifying Charles Simpson that his his belongings are still there. And I'm a little bit confused, but Martha might be able to explain, but we got 8 days after we notify him, then it's abandoned. Then it was like another 15 days after that. After that 15 days, we can dispose of it in any way we want, I believe, is the way I understand it.
I can clarify a little bit. So he has, well, we have to mail him a letter saying we have his property and post it, and you know where he can, who he can contact to get his property back. He has 8 days to do that. If he does not contact us, it will be deemed abandoned and the port can sell or otherwise dispose of the property. If he does contact, then he has, if he does contact the port, then he has to remove the property within 15 days of contacting the port. And if he doesn't do that, then it will also be deemed abandoned and the port can sell or otherwise dispose of it. How you dispose of it is somewhat determined based on the value of the item of property. So anything over $1,000 must be sold at either a public auction or sale or a private sale. Anything that's worth less than $1,000 is really up to the port as to how it wants to dispose of the property. So it adds a little bit of extra time just because of all the property that was left behind, but I don't expect he'll be coming after it, so we'll probably have to deal with it in a couple weeks or a week.
Martha, is there, I know this is costing us some money. We pay the sheriff $125 for the service and whatever the locksmith is, and then whatever we have to do to dispose of the records, is there any way to recover that, or is that just the cost of doing business?
Well, we can recover. We were awarded costs and fees. So I've prepared the paperwork, but I'm waiting to get the final costs. So yes, the sheriff's $125, and then I'm going to add that on there and submit it to the court. However, you know, that's just that's a piece of paper that says Mr. Simpson owes us X amount of dollars. So it doesn't, I, you know, whether that's collectible or not, I'm not sure, but it will be his responsibility.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments or discussion from the board?
Yeah, I have one question. Once the property is removed from the building on Wednesday and the lock is changed, is the port free to lease that building out the day, next day if we so chose?
Yes. I mean, obviously, I'd recommend doing an inspection, you know, to make sure it wasn't our building before, so we want to make sure it's, you know, sound before putting anybody in there. But yes, legally, it will be available for the port to rent out.
Thank you.
Okay, anything further?
No.
Okay, commissioner comments, start with Joe.
Only thing I got to say, Richard, is I've been hanging down here at the port working in a shop late at night again, and people have got the accommodation to the bathroom again at the commercial side of the restroom there. And I don't know what to say about it. It's just that, and I found two needles on the ground. I picked them up and disposed of them, but I know it's better, but we've got... Someone's given the combination out. I guess I could say that.
Would we change it a week, 2 weeks ago?
That's what happened. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I seen three people in a matter of probably 20 minutes.
All right.
They weren't using. No, they were.
Well, that sounds like we're going to be moving, at least discussing moving to something different at a future meeting date. So, or at least talking about it further. Anything else?
All right, Doug? Richard.
Sharon, do you have anything?
No, nothing at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Ken, anything?
Nothing. Thank you.
Okay, I will just jump back on my salmon season bandwagon, and we will begin the deliberations on the final season package next week, starting on Tuesday, and that final package will be out in early April. So I will be prepared at the next meeting to discuss that, the details of what transpired. And that means our next regular meeting date is Tuesday, March 16th, 2021 at 6 p.m. I guess we'll stay tuned as to whether or not we will be back in person or on this format. So before
Richard,
we,
our next.
Go ahead.
Richard, I'm sorry. Our next meeting date is actually April 20th.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, it is.
it was a typo on our end.
April 20th at 6 p.m. All right. Anything further before we adjourn? Okay. Hearing nothing. Thank you all for participating and attending. And with that, we will adjourn the meeting.